Welcome to the Lost Dot podcast on the 11th edition of the Transcontinental Race, presented by Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. I'm your host, Jenny Tuff. It's registration day, and roughly 400 riders are in Santiago de Compostela to begin their journey across the continent, first heading west on the Starport course to the edge of the mainland before their very long journey east. Our reporters, Sophie and Jake, will be out on the road for the duration of the event, talking to the riders and letting us know what it's like on the ground. They're currently roaming around registration, meeting some new faces and catching up with returning racers.
Hi there, Jake here, one of the reporters on this year's Transcontinental Race. I'll be writing the daily updates via the Lost Dot blog and also be recording some snippets from the front of the race. The scenes here at race registration are now quieting down a little bit. There's been a huge rush the last few hours with riders sort of snaking back down through the streets of Santiago, waiting to pick up their trackers and their race caps, which were printed yesterday using the same blocks as have been used each year, the vintage lettering blocks from TCR number 2 to today. There's been a great vibe in the air, lots of people feeling very excited, very relaxed, but also some people feeling incredibly nervous, as you would, especially ahead of your first TCR. But the community spirit has been amazing here, and people are looking out for one another, and it's a level playing field in that sense. Everyone's about to go through something transformative, and everyone is just keen to share that experience with the other riders here and keen to look out for each other. So we're going to have a bit of calm before the storm of this year's Grand Départ now, and we're looking forward to kicking things off. See you on the road.
Cap 120, Amy Lippi.
So it will be your fourth...
My fourth TCR.
Your fourth TCR.
Yeah.
And what are your goals for this specific edition?
I think my goal is to have more fun and to be like kinder to myself and just like others and just sort of experience the high, but be stoked about the highs, but approach the lows with a little bit less anxiety and just try to remember that like the lows happen to everybody. They're going to happen to me and that's okay. And it's not personal. And to not like get so down on myself for on the race. So I just want to have fun.
Cap 7, Pavel Pulavsky.
I understood that this is not your first TCR?
No. No, it's my fifth one.
Okay.
Yeah.
From your previous experience, how do you think, like, what's your goal for this year?
Race. As every year. Race hard as I can and try to finish the fastest I can. And, also have fun with it. Yeah.
And what are you bringing from your previous experience? Like, did you learn something from every TCR?
Yeah, the biggest lesson I have this year from previous years is that you cannot expect a perfect run. And last year I was thinking that I'm perfectly ready. Everything was prepared before the race and all that. And then it turns out that this is not enough. And so this year is just try to be more relaxed and just see how it goes. And
are you a bit stressed now?
Actually I was leaving the platform and I was like, wow, I'm doing, you know, it's fifth transcontinental race and I feel like it's the first one again. Which is cool.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good. I like it.
Previous winner, cap number 2, Christoph Strasser.
Where's your head at the moment? How are you feeling? You know, this is now, you're so experienced in this.
It's really the same level of excitement as every time, because even if it's the fourth participation, but still you have to like plan your route and everything is completely new again, different start locations. So I'm very excited and very much looking forward.
And do you feel you're chasing that same experience from the first time, or is it all just completely different every time you come back?
It is completely different, but honestly, I think the first time is the most special one because everything is absolutely new and reaching the finish line for the first time was the most emotional experience. But you know, you don't do it for the finish experience. You do it for the adventure out there. And I think the happiest moments on the bike are always during the race, not on the finish line. You know, I'm of course trying to be as fast as possible, and I'm looking at the leaderboard from time to time during the race. And I'm competitive. I really love this race and the strong people in there.
Cap 381. Ben and Chris.
How do you guys feel about racing as a pair?
Yeah, good.
Feels good, yeah. I don't think either of us probably would have done this at this point on our own. No. I feel like it was always felt like we'd do this as a pair.
Yeah.
At some point.
It was unspoken for a few years, wasn't it?
And yeah. Then
the last couple of years we've been thinking about putting an application in, and the stars didn't quite align, and then this year was like, yeah.
It's felt like all our bike adventures have been leading to this. I guess in some way, yeah.
Are you excited? Are you stressed?
Yes. Yeah, both. Yeah, a bit of both. It feels good now to be like here and see other riders, see familiar faces.
How many arguments do you think you will have? no answer.
One of the main objectives is to stay friends, you know, experience this as a pair together, and like that above most else, 100%. I think. Yeah.
We've got a contract. We have a verbal contract that we're still going to be friends afterwards. So, yeah, it's going to have to happen, isn't it?
And the whole way through, hopefully.
And the whole way through.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you very much.
Cheers, Sophie.
Cap 137, Cynthia Carson.
How do you feel, like a few hours before the departure?
Of course nervous, but I'm really excited. I'm ready to get into it. You know, the first half of the first, you know, whatever day of ultra is always a little like nerve-wracking, and people around, and but yeah, just getting into my own kind of world, and it'll be great. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. What are your goals for this race, for this year?
My biggest goal for sure is to, when I finish, to be proud of my effort. I think if that's achieved, and maybe I don't achieve all of my other goals, I think I'll still be okay in the long run. I'll be able to mentally find peace in that. But I would say other goals are to limit my stop time, which is always a challenge for anybody racing ultras, and hopefully get to the finish first.
How did you choose or made the decision about your route?
I'm a gravel racer at heart, or a mountain biker as well. So when I was looking at the route, I wanted to take the shortest distance. So that includes some places where there's more elevation or potential for gravel sections. And if there's hike a bike, I've got my mountain bike shoes, and that's fine with me. So yeah, I would say just trying to take the fastest route that I can to get to the finish.
We mentioned in the last episode that the TCR must be completed on a traditional bike. However, this year there is an exception. Caps 376, Tom and Gavin, are riding in a tandem. Gav is a sight-impaired athlete, so with his teammate Tom, hopes to be the first sight-impaired person to race the TCR.
You have a really specific bike.
We do.
Especially for TCR. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, well, our special bike is a 20-year-old tandem that we bought for £500. And we spent a bit of money doing it up. Some amazing mechanics. Gosforth Bike Works in Newcastle built us a specially made dynamo front wheel. We've got a bit of a Frankenstein mix of gears to give us a really nice easy range to get us up some of the big climbs, because the Tourmalet on a fully laden tandem with two grown men on it is going to be interesting.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Sure.
And I think as well, kind of the reason we're on a tandem is because Tom was brave enough and kind enough to propose that we do the Transcontinental, and thanks to Andrew, Anna and all the team, you know, they've opened it up for us so that somebody like myself with a visual impairment can actually be part of the adventure. So Tom is at the front guiding us, doing all the route, and I'm behind
enjoying the ride.
Exactly. Cheese, wine, you know, whatever. Yeah. Whatever it presents. So
handing me food every now and again.
Sorry, I have a roll as well. I do have a roll.
And how did you choose the routes, like according to the tandem, because it's quite heavier than normal bikes.
Yeah,
a normal bike.
So the unladen tandem is about 23 kilograms. with all of the kit on. It's not too bad. With all the kit on, we're looking at maybe 30, 32 kilograms, depending on how much cheese and wine we've been carrying or eating.
It feels heavier than that, I'm just saying.
It does feel heavier than that. So I'd say on the flat, we feel good. So like I can get into the aero bars on the front, Gavin can get onto the drops behind, and we've got, once the momentum's up, it rolls really well. But the moment we hit a hill, it just zaps all energy. So hills, we've tried to avoid where possible. So we've probably taken some sections of a slightly longer route, but slightly flatter routes. The other thing as well is we're a bit unsure how it's going to be on the rougher terrain. Obviously, with the mandatory parkours, like, we have to ride those. But there are certainly other sections where we've probably chosen, again, to stick to the tarmac and avoid too much of the rough stuff. So that's kind of informed the routing decisions a bit, I'd say.
Flat.
Yeah. Flat through the Pyrenees, through the Alps, you know.
Yeah. As flat as you can make a route like this.
No problems.
I'm sure you're going to have a lot of time. And you guys are making history, because this is the first tandem ever.
Which is wonderful, right? It's really nice. It's really nice to be part of that. It's nice to be doing there's so many people here. The atmosphere is really nice. It's amazing to be doing a ride like this, but also to know that, you know, that you're the first tandem. You're the first sight-impaired person. They're important milestones, I think, which requires a team effort, right? You need everybody to be on board. So, yeah, it's good. Making history.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're glad to be here.
With a 500 quid tandem leading the popularity contest, we're looking around the room to see what other kinds of bikes have shown up. The TCR is not explicitly a road race or any classic genre. There are gravel parkours, and outside of those moments, riders can choose their own adventures. Finding the right steed to take on the variety of terrain that over 4,000 kilometers of many different countries will throw at you, mountain ranges included, can be a game of compromise. Jake is having to poke around the registration area and getting a sense of what we're all riding across Europe for this 11th edition of the TCR.
So, as always this year on the TCR, we have seen a huge variety of bikes taking to the stage. But one thing's for certain, bikes that are gravel inclined, or at least gravel curious, seem to be the most popular choice. Tire sizes are ballooning and gear ratios are exploding. It's very common to see one by an 11 to 50 cassettes on a lot of the bikes. We've seen some steel frames, steel forks, people obviously unaware of the history of the Tourmalet that they'll be riding in a few days. And we've been seeing fewer all-out aero bikes and deep dish carbon wheels. But still there remain a few who are tied to their aero ways and are going for all-out race speed. So I'm sure that we'll see some people choosing to walk the Assietta in a few days' time. There are the usual mods. Joe Howe, one of our bursary riders, mechanical thumb-shifting trickery standing out as one particularly interesting one. And we've got 3D-printed luggage. And of course, all the necessary mods it takes to bring a tandem bike to the Transcontinental and to cross a continent as a conjoined pair.
Once all the caps and trackers are handed out and bikes are checked for safety, the 400-ish riders gathered for the race briefing from race director Andrew Phillips.
We're all really grateful that you've come along to race. We're really excited to get things kicked off this evening. I'm sure you are too. And we're grateful to you all for continuing to put your faith in the Transcontinental and making it the best bike race in the world. So, right, the single most important thing is that you all get home to your loved ones. Right, remember that all the time. Dogs, they're really not that bad. I know it's something that a lot of people talk about. Dogs do not bite many people on the race. There's 400 of you. The chances are it'll be the person sitting next to you.
While Andrew may not know how to comfort the nervous, let me share with you some Canadian wisdom. We often say that you never need to be able to outrun a bear, you only need to be able to outrun the person next to you. On our pre-race episode, race coordinator Hannah Larvelestier told us about the TCR 100 Women campaign, and we teased that there would be a big announcement on race day. Here's a clip from her making that announcement to the live audience in Santiago.
Congratulations to all of the women here. It's incredible to see so many of you lining up. We've got 80 women, which is twice what we had last year and more than twice what we've had at any other TCR. So congratulations for signing up. Congratulations for signing up. Congratulations for making it to the start line, because that is probably the hardest part. And good luck for when you get out on the road. All of those worries will fade away once you're on your bikes, and good luck out there. I'm sure you've all got your own reason why you're here to race it. But I hope you will also realize what an inspiration you are to the people at home, to the people around you, and to other women watching the race, because your participation is really going to make change. And I think we're expecting to see more women in all of our start lines from here, but also in other races in ultra cycling. And representation really matters, and having role models that look like you matters so much. And so, you know, if you're looking for a reason to keep pushing when you're struggling on TCR, think about that. Building on the success of this initiative, though, we have some really big news. Next year in May, we're going to be hosting a new race. It's going to be called the Lost Dot 101, and it will be the first ultra race for women, non-binary, and trans riders. The race will start here in Santiago de Compostela. It'll have a TCR-like format, but it will be 1,200 kilometers with a series of control points and parkour, and following the same rules and spirit of the race as the Transcontinental has always followed. The 101 is going to be an introductory course to ultra racing, and we'll continue hosting the webinars in the lead up to the race. But in addition to that, we're going to have relaxed time cutoffs so that instead of needing to ride 250 kilometers a day, riders will need to cover about 200K a day. Basically, our aim is to create a race that's accessible to people who are interested in starting ultra racing, but we also want it to attract the strongest riders in racing. So we hope that any women here will consider racing it and lining up against a really strong field of women, non-binary, and trans riders next year. So tell your friends, tell all the women that you think might be interested in racing, and spread the word about it, because we just want as many people there as possible.
Head to the Lost.Dot website or social channels to find out more, and share this news with the Flinta cyclists in your life. Finally, as evening nears, the riders get on their bikes and meet in the main plaza for the start, which gets delayed by a couple of minutes while the police organize themselves for the pre-arranged lead out from the city. If you've never been on the start line of an ultra, I'll try my best to describe it. The TCR starts neutralized while the bunched up riders safely leave the city. This is the magical part, with the crowd cheering on for the first and last time on a race of this nature, and lots of cyclists in their little high-vis gilets and wonderfully obnoxious freewheels.
We're off. Ring the bell.
It's on the back.
Thank you.
You feel like you're with your people. And after so many months of preparation, the wait is over and your bike is moving. There's a lot of noise and a lot of light, and the buzz of the crowd feels like it's turning your pedals for you. Then, when the escort vehicle pulls over, the race is on. Some riders may choose this moment to make their move, while others may note that they still have a few thousand kilometers ahead of them and not try to gain an advantage so early on. The start per course this year is about 130 kilometers long, so racers will be on the same route together for a significant amount of time going into the night. But when that part course ends is when things really kick off. This part, for me, is the scariest bit of free route race. The first intersections arrive, and riders ahead of you will be turning one way or another, And you have to know that you're comfortable with the direction you've chosen, even as you start to ask yourself why everyone else seems to be going a different way. With an evening start, the question of whether to sleep on the first night will trouble many riders. It can be hard to settle down for useful sleep with all the excitement around you, but managing your pacing and setting a sleep rhythm early could pay off. Still, the race to CP1 is often panicked, and many riders will go through the first night. After the first 12 hours of racing, we saw many of the riders at the front clocking over 300 kilometers. The question is, how many of them will sustain this pace all the way to Romania? Thanks for listening to this episode of the Transcontinental Race No. 11 podcast. To keep up with the race, head to lostdot.cc, where you'll find the main tracking with all the riders and links to our blog and social media. Our media team are working hard from out on the road to keep photos and live updates coming as our riders race onwards, and I'll be putting on episodes every day until the race closes. Thanks to our race partners, Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. To all of our riders, stay safe, keep pedaling, keep eating, and remember to enjoy it. We'll be back tomorrow.